and welcome to the Word of Life Church podcast. We're delighted you've chosen to spend some time with us today. We believe that today's message has the power to inspire and elevate your faith journey. Before we dive in, we'd like to express our heartfelt thanks to our partners. Your generous contributions make it possible for us to continue spreading the gospel, serving our community, and carrying out our ministry. If today's episode moves you and you'd like to be a part of our mission, we'd invite you to become a partner. Your support has an everlasting impact and allows us to reach even more souls. Now, let's turn our hearts and our minds to the Word as we begin today's episode.
Mark chapter 11, and we are going to start by reading verse number 12. We're going to read 12 to 14, and then we're going to flip over from Mark 11, 14 to Mark 11, 20. So just stay with me in this. Mark 11, chapter 12. I hear my daughter cheer me on. Here we go. Mark 11, chapter 11, verse number 12. It says, "The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, 'May no one ever eat fruit from you again.' And his disciples heard him say it." Now turn over to verse number 20. "In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered.' 'Have faith in God,' Jesus answered. 'Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." Come on, let's just pray together before we jump into this. Lord, we love you. We are so thankful for Jesus. Thank you for your Spirit. And today I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to you today so that we can receive what you have for us. Father, we invite you into this time. We thank you that you're here. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Isabel, amen. All right. You're in a series that is called It Is Written. Pastor Joel last week started this series talking about one of the foundational principles of faith. And this week, I want to just give you another principle of faith. But before we do that, let me just kind of reverse and give you a little bit of a catch up of what Pastor Joel talked about last week if you aren't here. Pastor Joel essentially talked about the first principle of faith. And the first principle of faith that he was explaining to us in this series, It Is Written, is that God's word never fails. I mean, if we're just going to stand on something that I think could be a firm foundation, I think that could be what we stand on, that God's word never fails. And I don't want to just tell you that. I want to show you in Scripture. So turn with me to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 55. And verse number 10 and 11, it says, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Do you see this? God is saying, hey, listen, when I speak, things happen. When words come out of my mouth, I don't just have casual conversations with people. I don't know about you, but I do. I have casual conversations with people. We talk about the weather. We talk about things that we like. We talk about sports. We talk about all kinds of things. I have casual conversations with people. You will never find God having a casual conversation with anyone in the Word of God. Why? Because His words, when they go out of His mouth, they're not just going to go. They don't just go into space or disappear. His words, when they come out of His mouth, they're going to accomplish something. This is why we can be confident that God's word never fails. Because when He speaks something, it will always accomplish what He sent it to accomplish. I don't want to just stand here and preach this message to you from last week. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't heard this message from Pastor Joel last week, go into the podcast, listen to the one from last week. God's word never fails. I want to give you the second principle of faith. And the reason why I want to give you these principles is because before we get to Mark 11, like we're going to get there, but before we get there, I need to establish some foundational principles so that when we read Mark 11, we can understand what is going on. So the first principle, God's word never fails. The second principle, turn with me in your Bible to the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 4, we're going to read something that is very, very interesting. In my opinion, this is just me personally, I think this is one of the most interesting passages of scripture in the entire Bible. I'll explain why, but in Luke chapter 4, there is something that stands out to me that I see nowhere else in that sense. So in Luke chapter 4, we're going to read starting in verse number 9. It says, "The devil led him, this is Jesus, so the devil led him to Jerusalem." Now, let me just pause, just in case you don't know how we got to this passage of scripture. This is after Jesus has just been baptized by John, comes out of the water, the Holy Spirit alights on him, and then the Holy Spirit leads him into the wilderness. After 40 days, he is now being tempted by the devil. This is one of the temptations of the devil. So let's jump back in. "The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God,' he said, 'throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus answered, 'It is said,'" or "it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" This has got to be one of the most interesting passages of scripture to me personally that we see in the entire breadth of scripture. Why? Because the devil quotes scripture. That catches my attention. Oftentimes when we talk about the devil, what do we say? Oh, he's a liar, right? When we talk about the devil, what do we say? Oh, he's a thief. When we talk about the devil, oh, he is going to try to manipulate and deceive you. But right here in this passage of scripture, the devil is using the word of God verbatim to tempt Jesus. Now, this is interesting to me because my mind gets to racing whenever I read through scripture sometimes. And as I read through scripture and I'm reading this passage, my mind begins to think of this question. And the question is, well, if Satan used the word of God, he literally quoted scripture, Psalms 91, he's quoting this. So if he is quoting scripture, is he wrong? Okay, just think with me for a second. The devil has just quoted scripture to Jesus. So the scripture is written. It is written. It's there. So as he quotes it to Jesus, is he wrong? Or let me put it this way. Maybe this is easier to understand. Why didn't Jesus respond to the devil and say, "Ha ha ha, you're right, it is written"? Why didn't he say that? Why did he respond to the devil and say, oh, you know what? Yes, my Father, he will send angels to come and take care of me so that I won't dash my foot on a stone. Why wasn't that Jesus's response? See, this is where the second principle becomes really important. The first principle is God's word never fails. The second principle that we need is we need to know why the word was sent. We must know why the word was sent. Yes, we have the word. Yes, Satan had the word. But why was it sent? Why did Jesus not respond to Satan and say, yes, Satan, you're exactly right. That is what the word says. So I'm going to jump. I'm going to jump off. I'm going to show you how much faith I have. Why didn't Jesus do that? Because Jesus knew why the word was sent. Here's something that we need to get as we read through scripture and as we talk about faith. We must know why the word was written. This is why this is important, because I don't know if you're like me. In my life, I've had moments where I have found myself in this trap that the enemy was trying to lay for Jesus. Do you know what the trap was? The trap was, I am going to not misquote scripture and try to get you to believe something that's not actually there. I'm going to misapply scripture so that you try to test God when that was never his intention. I don't know if you're like me. I've fallen into this temptation before. I've fallen into the temptation of misapplying scripture. Can I give you some insight into this? Oftentimes when we misapply scripture, it looks like two different things. First, when we misapply scripture, we stand on the word of God, we declare, we decree, we say, in the name of Jesus, this mountain will move. And when it doesn't move, because the enemy has now tricked us to misapply scripture, when we don't see the mountain move, two results happen. Oftentimes, the first result is we say, you know what? God failed. God, Lord, this is in your word. I did it, but you didn't do what you were supposed to. So now I'm never trusting this again, and I'm never trusting you again. God, that one time I really got in faith, I was really believing for this to happen. I had scripture that I was standing on. I was declaring it, but it didn't happen the way that I expected it to. So God, you failed me, and I'm never trusting you like that again. This is oftentimes a response that we can have when we step out in faith, but we didn't know why the word that we're standing on was sent. See, I don't know about you, but I've found myself in that place before. I found myself in a place of standing on something, not seeing the results, and blaming God for it. I could be the outlier. I could be the one person that's ever tried it this way and it didn't work, but I imagine that my experience is not unique. I imagine that maybe you too. You found a scripture that you wanted to see in your life. You began to stand on it, but it doesn't seem as if God is doing what his word said he would do. Maybe you feel like God's failed you. Could I just submit to you in humility from a heart and a person that understands what that's like? What if the issue isn't about God's ability? What if it was about God's intention when he spoke that word? See, the first ditch that we can fall into is we can fall into this ditch of saying, you know what, God, you failed me, when we don't see what we were believing for turn out the way we thought it should. But maybe you're more spiritual than people like me. And maybe you're like, you know what? God never fails. And let's be honest, if we say God fails, that really throws a big wrench into all of our theology, right? Like it really throws a big wrench into this whole book of the Bible that we trust. Because if God failed once, then who's to say he can't fail again and again and then again? Right? So oftentimes, maybe we felt like God has failed us, but I think more commonly what happens when we begin to stand in faith, when things don't turn out the way we thought they should, we begin to think our faith failed us. If I would have just had more faith, if I would have just prayed a little more, if I would have just fasted a little longer, if I just would have worshiped for a little bit more time, then my faith would have been strong enough and God would have answered the way that I was believing for him to answer. Maybe you felt like your faith has failed. I've been there. I understand what that's like. To say, God, I just need more faith. I need to do a little bit more. I need to work a little bit harder. I need to believe a little bit stronger. I need to just get something from without. Like, I gotta build up something in me. The issue with this is when we begin to take that perspective, what happens is our focus shifts from faith in God to faith in faith. Can I help you understand what that means, to have faith in faith? Essentially, it's saying, I'm going to do all of these things, and because I did all of these things, God has to respond the way that I want him to. Because I did my part, so God, this is on you now. Faith in faith is like this obligation for God to respond the way we want him to, because we did the prayer, we did the fasting, we did the giving, we did it. And so because we did it, God, you gotta act the way that I am desiring for you to act, because I got faith. But you've got faith in faith, not faith in God. This is why we must know why the word was sent. And these, for me, are very deep, deep areas in my own heart. Because I have had moments where I felt like God has failed me, and I have had moments where I felt like my own faith failed me. And maybe you felt that way too. Can I give you one more idea with this? The issue is whether you think God failed you or your faith failed you, the devil is good with either. See, the devil is cool with you thinking God failed you. Why? Because then you'll never trust him again. I tried that one time, the whole faith in you thing, and you didn't do what I asked you to. So you know what? Like, I'll kind of trust you. But on the other side, like, I'm grinding. Like, I'm working hard. Like, I'm praying. I'm doing everything I know to do. But God, like, I kind of trust you. The devil's cool with that. He's cool with you thinking God failed you, because then your heart's not his anymore. Right? Like, your heart doesn't belong fully to God. But he's also cool with you saying your faith failed. Oh, yeah, that's right. Condemnation. You should have more faith. You better just, why won't you wake up earlier? Why won't you pray a little bit longer? Why don't you, right? He's cool with you being works-based to get God to do something for you. He's cool with that. Because he knows there's only one thing that actually pleases God. And that is faith. But we've got to get this part. It's not faith that pleases God. It's faith in God that pleases God. Right? And this is the interesting thing about this second principle of faith. We have to know why the word was sent. But can I give you a really easy way to remember this? If you want to know why the word was sent, the best way to know why the word was sent is to know who sent it. And if you want to know why this is here, know who put it here. Like, if you want to know what is written, just get really good at knowing who wrote it. So you've got to know why it's written, but the easiest way to do that is to know who wrote it. To fall deeper and deeper in love with your Maker. To truly want to know him. And as you know him, you get it. It all begins to make sense. All of that was just the introduction to get us back to Mark 11, okay? So turn with me one more time to Mark 11. Yeah, like I hope the closing's shorter than that. That was a long intro, brother. I wonder what... All right, let me stop. I have many jokes that are rolling through my head. Okay, Mark 11, verse number 22. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Know that God will never fail. His word never fails. Have faith in him, but also know why the word was sent. Have faith that the reason why God sent it, it will always accomplish that, because he will accomplish it. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Principles. God's word never fails. We got to know why the word was sent. So as we approach this text, we should have those two things equally in our mind. Knowing it's there, so some, like, God put it there for a reason, and whatever that reason is, it will accomplish it. But secondly, I need to figure out what that reason is. Now, two observations about this text. If we're going to know why the word was written, then let's just look at the text specifically, and let's just make some observations, some things that are really, really simple to see. First observation, as we read through this text. Jesus does not say to everybody, hey, you see the mountain, speak to it, and go cast it into the sea, and it'll happen. Jesus didn't say that to everybody. Jesus didn't just go stand up on a mountain and say, you know what, everybody? I'm going to teach you all today how to have faith, and we're going to move some mountains. He didn't say that. He was talking to his disciples, a specific group of people, a small group of people, a group of people who not just like mentally were following him, but like literally in their day-to-day life, they literally were walking with him. Like their lives, their thoughts, their desires, their actions, their words were all informed by Jesus. We could say it this way. They gave their lives to him. So when Jesus says, have faith in God, now let me teach you a principle of faith. You can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea. He's not talking to everybody. This scripture doesn't apply to everybody. It applied to his disciples, the people who were actively walking with him, the people who were actively living for him, the people who were being informed by his life, and they were taking his principles and living them out. They had given their lives to him. Just a simple observation. Jesus didn't say this to everybody. He said it to his disciples. Second observation, which is also very interesting, is the focus of what Jesus is teaching here. It actually is not faith. This teaching that Jesus is teaching to his disciples, his focus is actually not faith. How do we know this? Well, let's just read the first thing that came out of his mouth. In verse number 22, have faith in God. It's actually not about faith. It's about God. This teaching that Jesus is now giving to these disciples, it's not actually about faith. It's about God and about faith in God. See, what we can understand about this scripture, it's so necessary that we get this, is that when we start at the beginning of the story, we started in verse number 12, Jesus and his disciples, they are walking somewhere. As they are walking where they're going, they see a tree. Jesus goes up to the tree, sees that there's leaves, begins to expect, hey, there's some figs on this tree. Goes up to the tree, sees that there's no figs in the tree, curses the tree. They go on to do what they're going to do. They go back home. The next day, they're walking again, passing the same tree. Peter shouts up, says, oh my goodness, Jesus, look! The tree that you cursed has withered from the roots. Now, when Peter did this, what happened was, is Peter just opened up the window so that we could see into his heart. Let me explain this to you. His response to seeing that tree withered lets us know that there was an area in his heart that he hadn't fully believed God. Why? Well, honestly, if Jesus, being the Son of God, if Peter believed that Jesus was the Son of God, he should have known anything that comes out of Jesus' mouth, it's going to accomplish what it was sent to accomplish. So if Jesus says to this fig tree, I'm going to curse you, you will never produce fruit again, Peter should have been walking past his fig tree and said, ha ha, I knew that was going to happen. Right? If he fully believed that the words of Jesus were powerful, if he fully believed that Jesus was not a prophet, he was God in the flesh, if he fully believed that, then he would have known when he passed that fig tree, something was going to be different the next time he saw it. Peter's response, it gave us insight into his heart, which let us know and which let Jesus know there was an area in Peter's heart. There was an aspect of God he hadn't fully grasped yet. There was an aspect of God he hadn't fully believed yet. So this is why the first thing out of Jesus' mouth is not, oh yeah, Peter, let me show you how to do this. The first thing out of his mouth, out of Jesus' mouth, is not, oh yeah, Peter, let's go cast some mountains into seas. The first thing out of Jesus' mouth is have faith in God. Peter, there are some things about God you don't fully get yet. Peter, there are some realities that you don't fully understand yet. Peter, there are some areas in your heart where you haven't fully trusted God. There are some things inside of you that aren't fully in line with the Word of God. Peter, there's some things you don't fully grasp yet. Could I submit to you that that is the same conversation Jesus would have with us? How much do we really believe what he says? I know it's written, but how much do you believe it? I think that's what Jesus is highlighting here to Peter. Like, if you really believe that I was the Son of God, if you really believe that I was God made man, God in the flesh, like, if you really believe that, then you know any word out of my mouth has power. Then you know anything that I say is going to accomplish something. So when I speak to this tree, you shouldn't be surprised by the result. I just wonder in our own lives, though. Like, it's easy to highlight Peter. But what about Brian? I don't want to call you by name. I don't know your name. I don't want to call you out. I'm just saying. Like, what about Brian? Brian knows that it is written. Brian knows that God's word never fails. But do I actually believe it? Like, I can mentally know it. But like, does my heart? Is my heart in line with that? Does my heart really grasp that? See, I would submit to you that this encounter, this interaction that Jesus has with his disciples and this fig tree, there's two things that we can see from it. And I'm sure there's many more, but two things that I see that are very prominent is that when we ask the question, okay, I know that God's word never fails, but now I need to know why it's written. I think maybe two reasons why this was written here, why this interaction happened, was first, Jesus wanted to teach faith. And second, Jesus wanted to teach about fruit. Now, I've only got 3 minutes. I told you my intro was real long. I got 3 minutes to share with you about faith. Fruit. If you want to come to the Fondren 6 p.m. service tonight, I'm going to be talking about fruit. But faith. Why was this written? Faith. Now, I know that sounds really good. Jesus wrote it for faith. It's there because of faith. But what does that mean? It's not just faith. It's faith in God. The first words out of his mouth are, have faith in God. I know that you're standing, declaring, decreeing, but are you just focused on faith in what you're standing on and declaring on and decreeing? Or are you focused on faith in God? Like, is he the focus? Or is what your desire wants the focus? What if this was not about God's ability or your devotion? What if it was about your belief that Jesus really, when he speaks, things happen? That God, the Father, when he spoke, he created this universe. Who am I? Who am I that he would be mindful of me? Yet, he tells me he wants me. He tells me he loves me. He tells me he's for me. And I could continue on and on and on and on about what is written, but the best way to know why what is written is to know who wrote it. Jesus' focus is not faith, it's God. It's have faith in him. As you put your faith in him, oh, your desires, they begin to be formed and molded and shaped and changed to look like him. Because here's a reality. We become what we behold. The longer you behold something, the more you become like what you're beholding. So for me, if I'm going to have faith in God, that means I've got to behold God. I've got to have my focus on God. I've got to have my attention set on God. And as I do, I become like him. Have faith in God. Yeah. Mountains move. Sure. I get it. I believe that. But before we get to the whole mountain moving thing, what about faith in him? Like, I know fig trees, they get cursed and they die up. They dry up from the root when he speaks. I get it. But like, first, what about faith in him? What if his focus for us is centered on this idea of just knowing him, of having faith in him? I want to just submit that to you this morning. A principle of faith. First, God's word never fails. We need to believe it. Second, we need to know why it was sent, though. Because we can grab scripture, we can declare, decree, ascribe meaning to it, and then find ourselves upset and disillusioned when it doesn't happen the way we thought it should. But one thing that I can promise you, you will never be disillusioned by, is God himself. So this is why Jesus says, have faith in him. Have faith in me. Have faith in God. I want to encourage you this morning with that simple phrase. Have faith in God. Yes, God's word will never fail. But have faith in him. Because he's the author. He's the one who will finish this. He's the one who says, my word does not return to me void. He's the one that says, when I send it, it will accomplish what I get that. When God speaks, he says, my word, it's mine, and it will accomplish what I have sent it to accomplish. What if faith in God was about getting my alignment with him so that what he says, I believe? What he decrees, I declare. Oh, what he speaks, I shout, because I know that he will not fail. Come on, let's pray together this morning. Father, we love you. We are so thankful for your word. We're so thankful that you are not a man that you should lie. We are so thankful that your word will always accomplish what you have sent it to accomplish. So God, would you align our hearts to have faith in you? That our faith would not stand in the wisdom of man, nor in our own desires, but our faith would stand in knowing you. So Father, open our hearts, just like you did to Peter. Show us any areas in our hearts where we haven't fully aligned with your heart yet. And help us, God, to not just have faith, but to have faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen.